Hello and welcome back to The Target, powered by Hollywood Bets. I'm your host, Deshawn, and joining me in studio today is English football analyst Jesse Nagel.
Desh, honored to be back again discussing, of course, the best league in the world. Greetings to our listeners and a very happy birthday to you, Desh. I walked into studio today and I didn't expect to see Blackie. I thought there was going to be some grays by now. But yeah, happy birthday to you. Hope it's a great one. And greetings to all the listeners out there.
Thanks, Jesse. I really appreciate that. And what a day to talk about the greatest league in the world, the English Premier League. Mm-hmm. We're going to kick things off with Friday Night Lights, which sees Leeds United hosting West Ham. It's a case of 16th versus 19th, a real six-pointer here.
Yeah, it's crazy saying that so early at this point of the season, but that's exactly what it is. I mean, we saw West Ham on Monday night just capitulate to Brentford, and you know, to not have any showing at home in front of your home crowd after going through a managerial change already this season. You thought it would give them a lift, of course, with Graham Potter leaving and now Nuno at the helm, but it hasn't changed much. I mean, they had positive signs in, I think, one of their fixtures. I'm trying to think who it was. I think it might have been the Everton game or one of the fixtures under Nuno for West Ham, and since then it just hasn't been great. In saying that, do I have any confidence in Leeds? Probably not. You mentioned under the lights, Friday night action. I think it's going to be anything but that. I think we could see like possibly a 0-0. Definitely a draw though is on the cards.
Yeah.
1-1 is like probably the highest scoring match I see.
So it's a case of dead rubber over here.
Yeah, look, six-pointer, not dead rubber because it is a six-pointer, but in terms of entertainment, you're going to have to wait for Saturday, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think I agree with you when you say that West Ham did show a bit of signs of life under Nuno. I think it was at Everton game because I see it's been two losses on either side of that draw at Everton, so winless across their previous five league outings, it doesn't bode well at all.
That is relegation form. I mean, you say it and you just take the attachment of the club West Ham away from it and you tell me a team has won or lost two from four games, you think they're going down.
Yeah. All right. Well, it is a relegation. 6 points on the cards here. Are you sticking with your prediction of a score draw?
Look, if it has to be, definitely a draw. But if there are some goals in the game, I want to be optimistic and say 1-1. Although nothing's stopping
to that. yeah,
nothing's points to that. I think 0-0 could be on the cards.
Yeah.
But defenses are so bad and so error prone that we could see an error on either side to make it 1-1.
Yeah. You know, I think there could be goals when Chelsea take on Sunderland at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea with back-to-back league wins now, including that last-minute winner over Liverpool.
It's insane what's just happened to Chelsea because they started the season off so slowly. There was talk in the beginning of a potential title charge. People were calling them a dark horse for the title. Of course, they'd spent their spending is well documented. Over a billion.
I think since Todd Bowley has been at the helm of the Blues, it's been something like that.
It's crazy the fact that we're talking in the billions. And it's not our currency, it's pounds. So you kind of know what figures are being thrown around. So, yeah, there were high expectations for Chelsea in the beginning. They sort of had a slow start,
an undesirable start.
In fact, the red card hasn't ended.
Yeah, and the last time you were here speaking, you mentioned something like a lack of leaders in the dressing room. And it hasn't changed drastically since.
Nah, that was, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? And I think since then, they've got a red card in every Premier League game since, which is quite telling because, or I think apart from the Liverpool game.
Yeah.
But it's quite telling because I made the point a couple of weeks ago when I said that this is what you're going to get when you hired or by novices of the game. A lot of the signings were 18, 19. I think Alejandro Garnacho was the most experienced player and he's 21, 22. So it's very telling. Red cards are the name of the game when Chelsea are involved. You saw in midweek as well.
Yeah.
Ajax, of course, got a red card. So, I mean, can you...
follows the Nottingham Forest red card last weekend.
Yeah, so it's crazy because... Yeah, goals are expected. Clean sheets are not expected. Red cards are expected.
Yeah, and then you look at Sunderland, who bought experience in Granit Xhaka. I mean, the Black Cats come into this round of fixtures just 2 points off Manchester City.
We were having the discussion a couple of weeks ago, and we actually highlighted Granit Xhaka, if you remember, as one of the signings of the season so far. And the fact that there's no talk of relegation, there's no talk of any bottom half slumber or any, I suppose, mishaps in the beginning of the season for Sunderland, you know, coming back into the Premier League after such a long time away from it. The fact that they have come in and they seem so comfortable in the league.
They've hit the ground running. I mean, they've scored goals, they've kept clean sheets.
It's crazy.
I mean, it's also 8 games into the season. It's not really a new lease of life.
I think the most disappointing results for me was the defeats away at Manchester United. I really expected them to give more of a fight, especially the form Man United had coming into the game. That makes me cautious now on how they'd approach it against Chelsea.
Yeah.
I do like Sunderland. I think Stadium of Light's a great fortress and one that they can build on the season, but away from home,
yeah.
I think Chelsea take this.
All right. You're going to lock in that prediction.
Mm-hmm.
All
Chelsea,
right.
High-scoring Chelsea victory.
Wow. Next up, we've got Newcastle hosting Fulham. Now, alarmingly, Newcastle have just 9 points from their opening 8 league fixtures. Mm. Is it all doom and gloom there at Toonside?
Not doom and gloom because of the timing of the season, but the signs are there. I mean, we're going to get to Liverpool in a moment as well, but the reason why some of their mishaps is because it's kind of okay because of the timing of the season. If this happens in October, yes, okay, we can forgive it and turn things around at a later stage. But if this was happening for Newcastle, perhaps in the championship rounds like February, March, then there's warning signs and then there's signs of concern. But right now, look, they've lost a couple of home games. What's it to Liverpool where they had a red card. They lost at the 96th minute to Arsenal.
Mm. Spirited performances.
Spirited performance. They are a team that show a lot of fight.
Yeah.
Can they continue that losing streak against Fulham? Probably not. I think this is the time to turn it around.
Yeah, I think there's worrying signs there at Fulham. Mm-hmm. The London outfit, of course, losing their last 3 fixtures, conceding 7 goals in that spell.
Yeah, that's definitely leaky, especially on the road. Everything points to a Newcastle victory. So
Nick Bolton wanted to add to his insane form. I think since he's been a Newcastle player, he might not have missed.
Yeah, I think it might have been one game, or if I'm not mistaken, I think you're actually right. But you almost look at Newcastle's scoreline if you missed the game. If you just look at who scored, you just watch some highlights, he's always involved.
Yeah.
And I mean, his goal last week, we see him as this huge 6'7" commanding presence up top. But he scores the craziest backheel flick ever. So it shows that he's got more than just height and physicality in his locker.
Completely bamboozled everybody, including Eddie Howe.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
All right, Newcastle to take the 3 points this weekend?
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Okay, our next fixture takes us to the Theatre of Dreams, where Man United welcome Brighton. Mm. Last weekend, United getting one over their arch rivals Liverpool, Harry Maguire in a score sheet. Do you feel they deserve that result?
Firstly, thank you to Manchester United. Thank you to the biggest club in the land. Thank you, supporters. Thank you, fan base.
The list goes on and on.
Thanks to everyone involved in this massive institution that is Manchester United. Because, everyone who's following this podcast religiously would know that I am an Arsenal supporter. In fact, anyone close to me would know that as well. So I have so much love and admiration for Manchester United now. What a time to get back-to-back victories against your arch nemesis and your arch rival. So I think that game would almost mean nothing if they lose to Brighton now.
Yeah.
So this game is very, very, very telling.
Well, looking at the players on display, Danny Welbeck just stole the headlines last weekend with his brace. And, you know,
he's coming
back to haunt his former employees. Yeah. I mean, we've seen this movie before.
Yeah, he's done it in an Arsenal shirt. He might have done it in a Brighton shirt as well, where he goes to Old Trafford and is on the score sheet. So, yeah, look, I was very impressed with Manchester United. I think what we've seen online and some of the negative stuff that we've seen, especially from sour Liverpool supporters is not true. I think it's all false. The fact that they played a low block, I think, is an utter lie.
Okay.
I think we saw a team who showed a lot of fight, grit, determination. My question is, how long will that last?
Yeah.
If I had to put my neck on a chopping block, because you are asking for a prediction, I would like to see it continue. I'm by no means a Manchester United fan, but I think football needs them competing again.
Yeah, do you think those players just stood up because it was the arch rival in Liverpool?
I hope not, Desh. I genuinely hope not.
But then you look at the opening league fixture against Arsenal. I thought there was a positive display from those United 11.
Yeah, and look, you can draw parallels between that match against Arsenal. They beat Chelsea already this season. Is it a case of raising themselves for the big games? I hope not, again, but Brighton should be considered a big game, especially where Man United have been finishing in the league the past couple of seasons. This is your bread and butter. This is what's going to get you to your objective. So
it is 9th versus 10th. So, you know, it's about those results against those clubs in and around your position.
Yeah, you got to take points off the teams around you. And I'm expecting Brighton to have a good season. I hope Manchester United have a good season as well. In terms of a prediction, wow. I like Lemons, goalkeeper, hey?
Sam Lemons.
Yeah, when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. And yeah, I think Man United win this. In fact, this might be more of a wish than a prediction.
Yeah. Well, you know, currently, I did say that United are 9th. They've got a decent run of form. I mean, it's Brighton this weekend, then it's Nottingham Forest away, Tottenham Hotspur away, and then Everton at home. I would say that there is some points to be taken from those four fixtures.
Now, you've made this a must win.
Yeah.
By highlighting some of the fixtures to come. I think you mentioned Tottenham in there.
Yeah.
You mentioned away at Forest.
The next fixture is away at Forest. Yeah, another winnable game.
You see, you say winnable, but away from home, apart from that Liverpool victory, of course, that's the most recent one. But I think they hadn't won away from home since March or April. Amsterdam doesn't win away games.
They've got 3 home league wins, so I know that they've got that form riding with them. But it was the first time it was back-to-back league wins for Amsterdam. I mean,
that's crazy.
That's just astronomical.
You know what's crazy is that, yes, he struggles to win consecutively. But I saw a stat when Liverpool had lost 3 in a row. Arne Slot had lost 3 in a row before Ruben Amsterdam, which is crazy because one finished 15th last season and one won the league. So it shows that, yes, he doesn't always win all the time, but he doesn't lose as consecutively as we perhaps have that picture painted in our head. So
there's a draw sandwich somewhere in there.
Yeah. And
finally, let's go. So Jim Ratcliffe, of course, international window just finished.
Mm.
Jim Ratcliffe backed Ruben Amorim publicly yet again, saying that we need to see what he can do in 3 seasons.
I don't like that. In fact, let me say what I like and what I don't like about that. I like the backing, the public backing. Sometimes you need it just to silence the media. And then the flip side to that is you've now drawn attention because anytime he loses, you think, is this what Man United are going to look like for the next 3 years? The parts I don't like the most is him putting a timeline on it. Just say, I back my manager. That's all. That's all you need to do as Sir Jim Ratcliffe. Just say, look, his job is, there's nothing you need to worry about there. And I back my man, and we will see in the future. But the fact that he's put that 3-year timeline is, we're always going to refer back to it now.
Yeah.
So I don't think that part has helped Amsterdam too much.
Okay. I think the next fixture needs a bit of backing. It's Liverpool up against Brentford. Honest lot. Needs a victory here. It's a must-win game. But then you look at Brentford, who are notorious for churning out their best performances against the Premier League heavyweights.
I am licking my lips for this fixture. I cannot wait. There's, of course, my team are in action later as well, Arsenal. And this is the game I'm looking forward to the most. Brentford, who are set-piece thugs. They are gangsters when it comes to set pieces because they don't care about anything.
They're just going to win that ball.
And the kind of throw-ins that they take is not like other teams.
Their corners.
I keep forgetting his name. Is it the fullback?
Potter.
No, the fullback. The on the other side, the right back who takes his throws. It's
Aaron
almost
Hickey.
Yeah. It's almost like a rewind the clock to Rory de Lapp days and early Stoke days and
Christophe Ayer.
No, I forget his name.
Coyote.
Yes, Coyote. His throws are just oh my gosh, it's art. It's art in a different form because it's doing what you need to do to win. And I mean, if Liverpool have shown a weakness this season, it's through set pieces.
Yeah.
So that's Brentford's biggest strength.
I mean, Arne Slot did confirm that in his post-match. I mean, he said the two goals they conceded did come from that. You look at Bruno Fernandes acting quickly to put that ball in at the back post for Harry Maguire.
And you know what's funny is that he reiterated that in midweek after winning 5-1 in Frankfurt in the Champions League, is that he said his team could press because the ball was on the ground. It wasn't like the Premier League or wasn't like the past few games he's coached against where the ball was in the air. I don't know what he expects at Brentford. If he thinks he's going to get a football match, he's so far out of touch with reality. So
let's have a talk about the forward then, Igor Thiago. His fifth league goal of the season last time out. He looks like the real deal.
How do Brentford keep doing this? How do Brentford keep doing this?
Scouting department, shout
out. It was Ivan Toney. And when Ivan Toney was it 18 league goals? I think he had even touched the 20 mark. He got moved on, and then Jan Wiese does the same thing the next season.
I think Brian Mbembo also finished in the top five.
Which is crazy.
League scorers, by the way. Imagine two league scorers coming from the same team, the top five scoring shots.
It's crazy. And, you know, I thought it was down to Thomas Frank and what he had done with the team, but it looks like it's a Brentford blueprint that has stemmed right through from coaching staff, from in fact, ownership right down to the playing personnel, because players can move on, even coaches can move on, and Brentford still look the same.
Yeah.
The philosophy is there. So, wow, Thiago, what a striker. He's getting on the score sheet this weekend for sure.
Well, it's going to go down in the G-Tech. Are you calling a win for the home side?
Four consecutive Premier League defeats for Liverpool. Do I see that happening? Yeah, it's crazy. It's so hard to predict that game because Liverpool winning in midweek, are they back? Are they the Liverpool of old? I mean, Wirtz got a couple of assists, but then Isak got injured, and he's got that chronic groin injury that puts him out for a couple of games every season. So, yeah, I'm look.
It's still a formidable front line if that's the case you're making, because with Hugo Ekitike can change. He can flip the script at any time. He's someone I was very impressed from what I saw from his cameo appearance against United. I thought he came on and he changed the game. Cody Gakpo looked very lively, very unlucky to hit the woodwork twice.
Yeah.
I think he did eventually get his goal. Chiesa comes on, changes the game for them.
Yeah.
So you look at Frimpong as well, came on and put that ball in for Cody Gakpo, who actually was unchallenged in the air. I think it was De Ligt who didn't leave the ground. And
tried to pick a corner in the empty net.
You see the point I'm making.
Yeah.
I think that... I think it's still Liverpool, but then you look at Brentford, who I just said they play against.
I can't see Brentford losing. I'm going to say a draw. I'm going to say a draw because there isn't a world where that exists in my head that Liverpool lose four Premier League games in a row. They've lost four across all competitions, and it wasn't five in midweek. We saw that. But in the Premier League, nah.
Okay. Well, you know, that is the curse of the commentators. Let's just say they go on and lose four in a row.
Mm.
Are we looking at a new Liverpool manager? Are we looking at Jurgen Klopp?
No, because Arne Slot has got enough credit in the bank now with that league title. So what he's done is there isn't a world where he doesn't finish the season. So
it would be harsh to be sacked in third place. Well, it's third place ahead of this round of fixtures.
Yeah, and I mean, again, it comes back to timing of the season. So I can tell you, you can tell me, we can tell each other, the world kind of knows it, that Liverpool are not the same team as of yesteryear. But is it enough, does it warrant enough to dismiss your manager? Probably not. There isn't enough. So that world doesn't exist where he doesn't finish the season. Regardless, even if it becomes a top four race for Liverpool, he'll still be there.
Speaking of changing their managers... Bottom club Wolves look like they were churning out some results. Back-to-back draws against Tottenham and Brighton was followed by a shocking 2-0 defeat to newly promoted Sunderland. How are they going to turn it around?
Yeah, Wolves, eh? what are they like? Everyone's bread and butter at the moment. It's not a good look for any Wolves fan, or of course we don't have many here in the country, but anyone who's a lover of Wolves over their time in the Premier League, I mean, they've caught the eye since they've been here. I mean, I think there was even a top half finish at one point.
I think it was top 6-7.
Yeah, under Nuno, of course. So
Matt Doherty would like 30 league goal moments.
And that time they had Diogo Jota, RIP, Daniel Podence, Pedro Neto at the time. It was an exciting Wolves.
Raul Jimenez.
It was such an exciting...
Half of the Portuguese backline. I think Nelson Semedo was
Neves,
there.
Neves, yeah. Vitinha, who's shining at PSG now. He comes from Wolves. So, I mean, to say
I know you said Daniel Podence, but I just want to say it again. Daniel Podence.
Yeah, what a player.
Yeah, I mean, just underrated, but what a baller.
But that's where Wolves are coming from. And that's kind of the picture we have painted of Wolves in our head. And when you see the results that we've seen this season, we almost don't want to believe it. Or at least, let me speak for myself. I don't want to believe it. So I'm going to make a wishful prediction here and say Wolves get to winning ways. Is it a wish? Is it a prediction? It seems like it's more of a wish and I'm being hopeful. But
how did newly promoted Sunderland find 2 goals against a Premier League team in Wolverhampton Wanderers? I don't know where to start.
It's down to the brilliance of Sunderland as well. We can't, you know,
but they've been chipping goals every weekend.
Yeah, look, it's a bit of both. Sometimes, you know, you have to beat what's in front of you, and sometimes what's in front of you is a team who doesn't show any desire to win a football match, and that's what Wolves have unfortunately been this season.
But also last season, because they were involved in a relegation battle, they brought in Vitor Pereira. He, of course, took some time before he turned the club's fortunes around. I think at one stage they were like up to 13th before they lost a few before the end of the season. It was a case of new players. So I think they made use of the January transfer window. And now they've backed him with a 5-year contract, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think they're preparing for life in the Championship. They see him as the man to bring them back up immediately, because it's impossible to reward him for what he's done this season. That's not a reward. That's a long-term project that perhaps the Wolves' credit have not neglected, and you know they're thinking about. So, a lot of teams live in the moment and just think about the now. But yeah, some coaches get backed publicly for 3 years. Some get it in the form of a contract.
Yeah.
I think, but you know what I mean by that.
Yeah, just moving swiftly along there. They, of course, up against Burnley, who sit just outside the relegation zone. 7 points from their opening 8 league outings. Doesn't necessarily bode well. Mm-hmm. However, they did leave it. Their first league win was left late. I mean, they came out 2-0 winners against Leeds last weekend.
I think Burnley go down this season. Burnley will go down. And I think at the start of the show, you mentioned a 6-pointer. This is another one of those. But, you know, in these 6-pointers, you really see, in fact, perhaps stats will go against me. Yeah. But off the top of my mind, I think these 6-pointers mostly favor the home teams. So Wolves, they have to. They simply have to win. It's not even up for debate. They have to win this game.
All right. Next up, possibly one of the bankers of the weekend, Arsenal up against Crystal Palace.
Don't do that. The pressure. Title favourites, Arsenal.
Top of the log.
look, Arsenal have been, it is what it is. They have been one of the best teams in Europe this season. You know, 3 wins from 3 in the Champions League, top of the table in the Premier League. They've conceded 3 goals in, I think it's 13 games across all competitions this season. They're on course to break Chelsea's record of conceding just 15 goals the entire campaign.
You've read all my notes without even looking at the laptop.
This is what the stats say.
It's crazy. This is what the stats say.
You
know it off by heart.
it's crazy because this is the reality of Arsenal and who they are. And
okay, let's actually single in on that clean sheet record. And they're up against a tricky, high-flying Crystal Palace outfit, where France forward Jean-Philippe Mateta among their ranks. Deep sigh. No challenge. Big challenge.
Let me put my chest out here. When because, I mean, this moment rarely happens, especially in my lifetime as an Arsenal supporter.
Wow.
This Arsenal team, you could have threatened me with Julian Alvarez in the week, and I would have probably thought, you know what, damn, that's a striker.
He did hit the woodwork.
It's not a shot on target. So let's not hide away from the facts here. Shots on target. One shot on target from Atletico Madrid, who had smashed Real Madrid just this season. And Atletico Madrid have, yes, they're not the same team they were a couple of years ago under Diego Simeone. But the fact that Arsenal reduced him to one shot on target, before that Arsenal hadn't conceded a shot on target in the previous two games, it's not a case of will the opposition score anymore. It's a case of will the opposition get a shot on target. And that's crazy. That, for me, is insane. As an Arsenal supporter, I don't fear Mateta. I think Gabriel's the best centre-back in the world right now. I think he's overtaken Saliba. I think he's better than Van Dijk, certainly this season. So
then you look at his aerial prowess as well. I mean,
I think
that's what
makes it. It makes him the best. Is he's a warrior.
Ability.
He's a warrior in defence. And up front, you know he's going to give you those goals and that threat from set pieces as well. So what did you call this? The bank of the weekend? That's your words, eh? Not
mine. Well, I'm glad you believe it. I think there's more to this Crystal Palace outfit than meets the eye. If there is going to be another tactical masterclass from Glasner, this is the fixture.
They play on Thursday, though. So they play it Thursday and Sunday, because of course they got the Conference League as well. So they are still, I don't want to say complete novices when it comes to European football and Premier League and juggling the two.
I think it is their debut season in Europe.
In fact, yeah, so perhaps novice is the perfect word. In fact, it's not disrespectful at all. So you can't acclimatize to that fixture schedule now and play the best team in England at the moment. So for me, there's only one result.
Yeah.
I'll be disappointed if Arsenal concede a shot on target. Or Teta out, if they do. Nah, joking. Look, of course I'm joking, but Arsenal win this.
Next up, we've got Aston Villa hosting Manchester City. Now, the Villains were winless from their opening five league games, but since, they've won three on the trot.
Three on the trot, and they face, what, the best goal scorer on the planet? The best striker in the world? So, in their form, they will score. But again, in saying that, Donnarumma, what is he the best goalkeeper in the world for you? I'd probably.
I need to see more of him, but
yeah.
But it's hard to see many taking it.
The award says he is, yeah. So he's definitely up there. So best goalkeeper in the world, best striker in the world. I think there is still a weakness in Manchester City. I can't really pinpoint what it is right now.
Which team is going to line up?
Yeah, perhaps it's midfield. Where their weakness lies, but there is a weakness, and it's probably going to take me some time to figure out. But
you wouldn't even think you'd say that after signing players like Tijani Reinders, mm-hmm. Ryan Cherki, mm-hmm. I think
but
even
Ryan
Nori came in.
Yeah, so those are attack-minded players. So look, when the going gets tough and you need to, you know, be running backwards to your own goal, who are those players that are going to do it? Bernardo Silva? Probably not. Tijani Reinders, you mentioned? Probably not. Phil Foden? Hell no. So yeah, John McGinn, what a player. He's been in exceptional form. Even Buendia. I mean, someone was telling me about Buendia's, you know, his return to form. Mm. And it kind of made me highlight it in my head a bit, because he was a hot prospect a couple of years ago. And in fact, coming from Norwich City, he was supposed to be the next player who deserved his big move to perhaps a team competing for
outfits.
Yeah, and he chose to go to Aston Villa. I think
they weren't at that point in time.
I think they became that,
mm-hmm. But at that point.
So I think now he's finally filling his potential, and it's taken him some years, but he is definitely. Yeah, I mean, what a player!
He
what
does
a goal
add
finesse. Last week!
Yeah, exactly
what
from that
goal.
Corner, and as well, Morgan Rodgers looks like he's taking this Villa outfit and punching above their weight.
Mm. Yeah, look, I think this is going to be a very telling weekend, because, I mean, we've both said that Arsenal are going to win this weekend. We're both expecting a kind of tricky fixture for Liverpool at Brentford, and now Man City go away at Aston Villa. you cannot let Arsenal run away for the likes of Man City and Liverpool. So, yeah, again, I don't see Man City winning. And again, is it am I being clouded by my own biasness for Arsenal?
It's
and,
possible.
Anything is possible. Anything is possible. But yeah, let's look, all jokes aside, it's not like Aston Villa or Inter today. They come in here, 3 wins on the trot, like you mentioned, and they will cause problems. So I think a draw.
Is anything possible when Bournemouth host Nottingham Forest this weekend?
No.
Forest onto their 3rd permanent manager this season.
That's crazy. That's... Is Choupo-Mpengesi in England? What is going on? Because, yeah, I mean, the Nottingham Forest owner, hang your head in shame. That's look, I'm not fortunate enough to run a football club, but from the outside as an armchair analyst and a football fan, I think that's not the correct way to go about it. And, I mean, it's evidence because 3rd coach now, they will finish in the bottom half this season. It's almost going to be factual.
Yeah.
I don't see any resurgence happening under Sean Dyche.
They're already in the relegation zone, so they might.
They'll stay there.
It might be a tough season for them. They, of course, have the relegation specialist in Sean Dyche. Mm. I'm not sure if he's been relegated as a manager as yet. I know he's been in very difficult situations like this, but this Nottingham Forest team has some winners in them.
Let's play a game, Dash. Let's say this now, and in fact, we'll look back at it in a couple of months or a couple of weeks. How long do you give Sean Dyche?
Surely he's there till the end of the season.
Okay, so is that your prediction? You think he's going to be there until the end of the season? Remember, it's 3 coaches. What, we haven't even touched 10 games in the Premier League? 3 coaches?
Yo, when you say it like that, I mean, I know I'm the one that said 3 permanent managers, but now when you say it's 8 games into the season, they're onto their 3rd manager. Who's to say it's not going to be a case of number 4 or 5?
I think January, Sean Dyche will be gone.
Yeah.
And then let's have a conversation again in January when he is gone, because that's when I've had a look at the fixture list.
The December run-in is crazy.
It is, and I think that's what will be his detriment. And they'll make a call in Jan.
Yeah.
And then who knows? The next coach, and then in March, next coach. And then you've got someone...
Steve Cooper.
And then you've got someone who perhaps can take over in May, who will just... Perhaps by then they'll be relegated already and you're hiring for the championship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, they've brought in 5 former players along with Sean Dyche. Do you not think that those players are there to almost empathize with the current group?
No, because, look, Ryan Yates did the post-match interview after the last game.
The Forest captain, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. I don't think he played in the game, which
is strange. He doesn't play much for them from what I've seen.
Yeah, so I mean, are you sending your captain who didn't even play? Can no one else handle the media to ask questions? Where's the sporting director if the coach is gone? You know, I think there's a lot of people who are hiding and making decisions behind closed doors and just...
Do you think it was a
leaving
positive,
the players to rot?
A positive result taking in that goalless draw into halftime at home to Chelsea before conceding 3 in the second half?
Yeah, I mean, look, football matches are not played over 45 minutes, so they did well to hold Chelsea off. But then it was a complete capitulation once Enzo Maresca sends his love letter from the stands and, you know, Esther Vau passed it on to Reece James, who then spread the message on. Who knows what that note said? But... how there was a complete capitulation afterwards from Nottingham Forest is just so crazy and so unfootball-like, and and that's relegation form.
You know, they did lose to Newcastle the week before that, but then you look at that defeat to Sunderland on home soil. Mm. I mean, that would have really been a knife to the heart.
The entire season's been a knife to the heart, Dish, if you want to put it like that. The upcoming games are going to be more knives to the heart, to the arms, to the legs, to the Achilles. They're not going to be able to walk soon.
That's death by a thousand cuts.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's going to be.
Another one this weekend?
For sure. Bournemouth all the way.
Yeah, all right. The final fixture of this round sees Everton welcoming Tottenham Hotspur. Now, Spurs were just a single win from the previous five fixtures across all competitions. David Moyes is eyeing on piling on that misery.
What a football match, man. I think there's so much action this week, and it's, you know, enough to get anybody going. It's oh, Everton. What a... You know, even though they lost against Manchester City, I watched that game, and Erling Haaland's a beast. There's very little anyone can do. There's very little data you can analyze.
I started to stop him.
Any science to get behind, there's no stopping him. Okay. He's just a beast. So I forgive them.
The first time we agreed this podcast.
I forgive them for losing in that manner to Manchester City. When Haaland's like that, there's very, very little can be done.
Understandable.
Tottenham don't have Haaland.
Yeah.
So, in fact, their attack is very frail and weak. I look at Xavi Simons. He's got good technical ability, but you shoulder to shoulder against Tarkowski.
He's a new signing as well.
Against Tarkowski, against Mikalenko, you can name any, against Garner in midfield.
As well as Pickford in the nets.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
You still got to beat the England number one.
No, come on, Desh. Yeah, no, we're definitely not going to disagree. I mean, we're not going to agree in this podcast, but yeah, if Everton give Tottenham a football match, they'll be causing themselves a disservice.
Yeah.
You got to make it nasty, make it cops and robbers, if you like.
Look, you mentioned some of the attackers. They've had players like Richarlison on the bench, Colin Moani on the bench. I think they've given Mateus Tell the central striking berth. He hasn't quite delivered. Does Thomas Frank stick or twist?
Yes, it's a twist. It's, I think, against a team like Everton, and look, I'm not in his shoes, and probably never going to be. But you cannot give Everton what they favour. A physical battle, or any marksman or target man like Richarlison, because Richarlison is that. He likes to play off the shoulder of the last defender. He can't do that against Tarkowski. He's not good enough.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's just the reality. So they're going to have to play Xavi Simons in the false nine, play him in the 9.5 position. You know, they've been quite fluid with their midfield changes. You know, sometimes it's Papa Saw, Bentancur in midfield, sometimes Paulinho. You know, they've got options everywhere except for up front for some reason. So,
well, Wilson Odoboyd is another player who I like, and you know, again, hasn't quite delivered as yet, but not far away from what I've seen.
Yeah, look, I think in that attack, it's Mohamed Kudus or bust. It's if he's not performing, no one else is.
I think he got on a score sheet last weekend as
Yeah, so it's make or break. It's Kudus or bust. Is that enough to beat Everton? I know we have to give our predictions yet, so I'm going to have to say a draw.
Goalless draw? It's not exactly like the Everton attack is firing in all cylinders.
Yeah,
I think it was earlier this season that David Moyes came out and said he needs more from his striker, Beto. I mean, I think I like that to a certain extent.
Mm.
Maybe not in public, but then again, if Beto is the type of striker that needs that wake-up call, then I understand it.
Yeah, I think Goalistro is probably the right part to go down. Because, I mean, you look at Tottenham's biggest strength over the past couple of weeks, it's long throws from Danso. You can't throw it into that Everton box. That's a mistake. So, yeah, their biggest strength is nullified before the game even starts. So, yeah, perhaps Goalistro.
All right. Well, football fans, you've heard it right here from Jesse Nagel and myself, Deshawn, on the weekly Hit the Target podcast powered by Hollywood Bets. Jesse, thanks as always.
Yeah, enjoy the football, and Desh, once again, a very happy birthday to you.
From all of us in studio, thanks, and goodbye.